Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. Welcome to the show. I'm very excited to introduce my guest, Peter Jordan, today. He has an amazing product at Seed Haven that I know gardeners are going to want to check out and say, wow, I had no idea. Or maybe some of you have heard of it, but I was like, wow. So welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you.
And go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm a retired chemical engineer from the high-tech software sector. Don't know how that fits together, but it does. I've been gardening for about 30 years. Until 4 years ago, our gardens were perennials only. We have 10 gardens spread around several acres on our property. To manage these gardens, each with its own microclimate, I developed custom software for an irrigation system. System considers things like light, plant types, soil, wind, etc. And the goal was to use as little supplementary water as possible from our well. As we know, rainwater has nice nourishing oxygen and nitrogen, while our hard water from our well is really not the best for our plants. After that, I took up hydroponics and wrote some more software to manage growing herbs in the winter so we could actually take a holiday and the computer could look after the plants.
Go ahead and just tell our listeners really quick where you're located and why and what gardening is like in your area.
Okay. About 4 years ago, I began to grow veggies and herbs outdoors. This turned out to be a challenge because we're in Ottawa, Canada, that is zone 4. In fact, I live on the Canadian Shield, which is limestone. 10 inches under the soil, if you're really lucky, is solid rock. So we have to sort of build everything from scratch, the soil.
So I think this can be really inspiring for people that live in some harder to grow areas.
Yeah. Well, seasons are short here and we have lots of crawling pests because we live in the woods.
Oh. And
dealing with the pests became another challenge. So that's how we ended up developing Seed Haven to help fight the pests, deal with the short season and reduce water usage.
Okay.
So
was there anything, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Sorry.
No, that's it.
Oh, okay. All right, so Peter, I always kind of just start out the show with a little bit about your background in gardening. Like, tell us about your very first gardening experience. Were you a little kid? Were you an adult? You know, what'd you grow? Who were you with? Where were you?
Oh, I don't know whether I'm even an adult yet, but nevertheless.
Nice.
Well, it actually was a bit of happenstance because we were dart players at our local pub. And one night up there, two people joined our team. Henry and Susan, they were both horticulturists, whom we became great friends with later. And they taught me how to relax through gardening in order to deal with the stress of the high-tech world. And that started in 1988.
Nice. That's an interesting place to meet other gardeners at the local pub. And
yeah.
that was up in Ottawa there? Have you been in Canada all your life? Or
Well, apart from 4 years overseas, yes.
So then share with us a little bit about what organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening means to you, because it does kind of mean something a little different to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it's very unusual, but anyways, to me, it's about cutting down on the artificial tools used to grow just about everything these days. I see it as an issue of quality, taste, safety, and environmental impact, as succinctly as that.
And then, so was it your friends from the pub who inspired you to use organic techniques, or did you learn about that afterwards, or how'd you get into that?
No, actually it was, I have two vegetarian granddaughters.
Oh.
And seeing them pick fresh veggies and munch them on without fear of contaminants is a very cool and lots of fun.
Nice.
They're right now on a tour of India with their parents.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
And what a great place to go for a vegetarian.
Absolutely.
So then how did you learn how to garden organically? So did you start out just using conventional methods and then you changed, or it just happened that way because you were growing organically that they could just grab food out of the garden? Or
no, actually I started right off the bat with organic gardening. I don't use pesticides anywhere on the property, not even in our perennials, because we're on a well and it's just a nasty thing to be doing. Uh-huh. I'm a groundwater specialist as well, so...
So tell us about your garden this year. Tell us about something that grew well this year.
Whew, this was a very bad year. It was cold and we had lots and lots of rain, and all things struggled, but we enjoyed a decent harvest of beans, carrots, and beets, but everything was pretty bad this year.
Now, are you growing things inside or outside? Because you were saying you do hydroponics, and that's inside, right? Or could
I
you have?
do hydroponics in the wintertime,
Oh, okay.
but I don't do that in the summertime. Everything is outside in summer.
And so, is there something that you would do different next year that you're excited to try new next year, or?
Oh, well, I'm sort of caught up in this business venture, but I think I will continue to experiment with more variety in general. I just want to gauge how each plant does in our sort of little home microclimate here. With very little sun because it's a treed lot, and but I still like to try something new.
Okay.
I don't know what it'll be just yet.
And how about something that didn't work quite so well this season?
Oh, tomatoes were a disaster. I didn't have a single red tomato for whatever reasons. So I'm looking for new short season determinant heritage varieties for next year.
And how about something that you find is easy to grow or generally successful every time in your area?
Beans, beans, and more beans.
Oh, cool.
And our neighbors would attest to this because we feed all the neighbors with beans.
Nice. And like pole beans or bush beans or just any kind of beans or.
Usually bush beans, green and yellow.
And how about something you would steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in your climate?
Okay, squash and melon, especially melon, our varieties are very difficult to grow here because we just don't have it a long enough season. And powdery mildew seems to be everywhere up here. Rotation is not feasible in small beds, so that's not really a defense mechanism.
And squash, I've never heard anybody say squash is hard to grow anywhere. Why do you, it just because of the
Zucchini, yes. Other squash. This powdery mildew seems to be an epidemic here, and it just destroys the plants. They just don't do well at all.
Okay. How about your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Got anything that you just have to force yourself to do to go out there and get done?
Do you know what? That's the toughest question. I thought about this a lot, and I really don't have something that I dislike in the garden. It's just always therapeutic to be out in the gardens on a daily basis.
And how about your favorite activity to do out there?
Ah, that's an easy one too. Picking the crops with my granddaughters has got to be on the top of the list. And we have a lot of daylilies, so it's always nice to go out each day and just see which one's going to bloom that day. It's always a surprise.
Oh, nice. So how about a favorite tool that you like to use? Like if you had to move and you could only take one tool with you, what would that be? That you couldn't live
Favorite
without.
tool. Well, that would have to be my chipper shredder because I use this to create compost from all the clippings and leaves on the property. Without it, it would be impossible to compost up here because it's all that seasonality bit.
Okay. And then how about, do you have any problems eating or harvest? Like my biggest, toughest thing is, harvesting the vegetables because everything always seems ready at the same time, and maybe it just seems like there's always a ton of produce ready all together, and maybe my limited schedule makes it hard for me to get it harvested and washed and eaten all at the same time. So, any suggestions for that?
There's in that case, we have a lot of neighbors and friends who we distribute to whenever it's ready. We don't really do any canning or anything like that because it's just better just re take it right off the vines and give it away.
How about a favorite internet resource?
Not one in particular, but I spend an awful lot of time Googling and Googling and Googling. I read a lot of research papers because of I look at gardening from a very technical point of view. So I read a lot of research papers and they're all over the place.
Is do you have like a favorite book or a magazine, any kind of reading material that you want to share that maybe has inspired you at all?
Jeepers. Again, I read such a broad range of things. I don't have one particular thing. I don't subscribe to any magazines or resources like that. I might get a few things from the library, but I don't like to buy anything that's on paper. I find I'm beginning to learn a little bit how to identify quality bits of information online. As you know, it's quite an art to do that because you have to compare and contrast. I'm a data-based individual, so if there's numbers associated with the report, I understand that. If it's anecdotal, I'm not really that keen on it.
I'm kind of a data junkie too. And I like your recommendation about the library because I'm always at my library. Like our library is so tiny, and a lot of people in our town are always like, why would you even go to the library? But one, I mean, there are lots of books there. And then two, we do have an incredible interlibrary loan program here. And so I'm always hearing about books on different podcasts that I listen to or different websites I go to. And the first thing I do is check and see if I can get it at the library.
Yeah, that's ditto here. Actually, I say I'm from Ottawa, but I live outside of a little village associated with Ottawa called Stittsville. And the library there is like a very small library as well. But like you, they have a interlibrary loan is
See?
amazing.
Yeah. And so I always like to recommend to people, go there first. And then, lots of people, certainly if you listen to podcasts, maybe you like Audible, but and even there, you can download digital books from the Montana Library online. For
Really?
free, a lot of digital books if you like to. But my problem with that is my phone is always clogged with, like, I never have any memory. Like, I'm lucky if I can load five podcasts a day and listen to them at night and then download
Wow.
five new ones. But I don't know how people put books on their phones, but
Yeah, well, we live
on a
out in the
Kindle,
country.
maybe.
We live out in the country. The internet out here is very expensive.
Oh.
Canada has the worst internet charges on the planet, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, it's brutal. So you
Now,
have to go to the library and use their downloading facility in order to get those sorts of things.
we're like, I have to say, the county that I live in, for like being as remote as we are and living in rural Montana, for some reason, our town brought in incredible internet. And we have had like state-of-the-art fiber optics. Like, we have some of the best internet in the whole state of Montana, right where I live.
Wow.
We've just scored that way big time.
Okay, so now I'm very jealous.
Yeah, and even like I wish I could afford the gamer DSL because I guess that's super fast.
Indeed.
But I just have the basic DSL. But yeah, we're very lucky here. So, all right. Well, so then I'm at the business question. So share with us about this Seed Haven thing and tell us this great, amazing product that you have out here.
Okay, so the well, 4 years ago when we started that vegetable growing bit, I couldn't grow things because I'd plant the seeds and they'd come up and the next morning they'd be literally gone. So that happened for one year, and then the next year when I was walking around the block with my friend down the street, I was telling him about this, and we decided we're going to just try and build something that would prevent those pests from getting at the vegetables. So we did that. We made some prototypes out of tin, and I tried them for 2 years, and it was just absolutely mind-boggling how well they worked. So the next year, we decided we're going to manufacture this device. And what it is a plastic frame that sits about an inch and a half in the ground. It has a specially designed lip on the top that we patented that largely presents things like earwigs and slugs and millipedes and those nasty things from eating the seeds as soon as they germinate, or even before they germinate, in the case of beans, because that little sprout is very telling when it breaks the surface. These bugs get down there and eat it. So we did that, and we found two other benefits from this. Because it was white, it reflected light off the sides, and this was from my hydroponics experience, caused the seedlings to grow much more quickly. It also captures rainwater. I don't know about in Montana, but we get rain, cats and dogs rain showers here, which don't really do a lot of good for the garden. It just runs off. Whereas this framework captures the rain inside, and it soaks in, and all that nice oxygen and nitrogen feeds the plants. So we were so amazed by this, we decided that everybody should have one of these things or more. So we are now manufacturing them, and they're being manufactured in Canada, in Ottawa, and distributed through a number of hardware store chains and such. And we plan to bring this to the States, where it's also being patented and trademarked.
And when you look at those time-lapse photos on your website, it's just amazing to see the difference because you've got the comparison crops right
Yes.
next to each other.
Yes. And that That happened like that 3 years in a row. I could hardly believe it myself, but nevertheless, there it is.
And I think like even the huge giant, when you buy those lettuces from California, that they've got all that new organic lettuce in the store in the plastic containers and stuff. I think those guys are gonna love this because those guys get bugs in their food, and I've seen those packages come with bugs right in them.
Oh,
And just
absolutely.
and those millet, those what are they? Those weird,
Millipedes and
yeah, that get
oh
in
yeah.
your lettuce and Swiss chard. They just creep me out every time I bring one of those into the
Well,
house.
you know, I didn't even
Or the
know millipedes.
earwigs. It's the
Oh,
earwigs that
earwigs.
drive
Oh,
me
earwigs. Those are
craziest.
the curse of the whole planet, those things.
Ooh, they're just
They can.
yucky.
I know why they don't go in there. We're going to do a psychology experiment to find that out, but they just don't.
Really? I just figured they couldn't crawl in the plastic, so it's
Well,
just they
no, they,
just.
oh no, earwigs, and they can walk on glass, those guys. And they go up, and they can't, their body cannot articulate the edge because they can't bend in half and get two legs on one side and two legs on the other. They can walk along the edge, but they can't bend and get two legs to get a grip on the other side. So I think they just give up. And the slugs, similarly, they go underneath there and they go along and say, well, look, there's nothing here to eat, so I'm going to leave. And I have hours of time-lapse photography of slugs going up and down the sides on that thing and not going in.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. But what it does also is you can use square foot gardening techniques, and you can plant an awful lot of seeds inside of Seed Haven, more so than you would in any other kind of a garden situation. And because it's not rows, you can pack the Seed Havens very tight together. Just all you need is enough room to be able to get your hand in there and put an inch of soil up against the side, which is what, of course, keeps the guys from going underneath. It works. It's amazing. And we're looking forward to introducing it this year and see how it does.
Well, I think it's gonna do just wonderful. And it's a great option for people that are new to gardening because it's gonna make it easier for them, and people that don't like bugs, and
And
people that,
urbanites have very small gardens.
right. That's what I was gonna say next. Now, what were you gonna tell us about your other website you were starting to tell me about, and then.
Yes, okay. The other website is, it's called, well, this after you're going to ask me what my favorite philosopher is, right? And that's important for the website. My favorite is Theophrastus, because he was all interested in plants and why plants and such. And his favorite saying was, time is the most valuable thing a person can spend. So I named the website Peter Frastus. And peterfrastus.com is where our irrigation software and hydroponic software is available freely for download. It's been around for years, especially the hydroponic software is quite popular around the world, actually, at this point.
I imagine that's growing with the boom of all the medical marijuana people. Do they use that a lot?
Very interesting because when those states passed those laws, there was a big peak on our website. So yes, I expect they do. It's completely automated. If you develop the whole system the way it is on the website, it will mix your nutrients, it'll run your whole system. You don't have to do anything, basically. And we did that because we like to take a vacation in the wintertime. If you start up a hydroponic system, they need a lot of care in terms of looking after the nutrients and whatever. And so this system does all of that. We could take our holidays, and every day it would send me an email and tell me how things were going.
No way.
Yes, way.
Nice. And that would help people grow all year long. Like people like us that can't grow during the winter would help,
Absolutely.
right?
Absolutely. So, and the productivity from hydroponics is mind-boggling. We had basil plants that were like trees. You just couldn't eat it all. Again, our neighbors love it when we do this, of course. In fact, at one time I was supplying a local restaurant because I couldn't get rid of all this stuff. And that's in a very small area. That's in this area that was like 4 by 6.
And just the basil or just all sorts of vegetables?
I didn't do a lot of vegetables because they take a huge amount of space, and the herbs are the things that people like to use for cooking. So basil, parsley, sage, thyme, shallots, things like that.
And no, go ahead.
I did do cherry tomatoes 1 year for my little granddaughters, which they like it to eat like candy. But those things went crazy.
Oh, yum. I love cherry tomatoes too. And how fun, because Mike was just like, I made potatoes yesterday, and he's like, oh, you should make some for potato salad. And I was like, oh, potato salad without tomatoes? I don't know if I can do that. And he was like, well, it's going to be a while before the tomatoes, but that would be great to have cherry tomatoes. Because usually I talk a lot about, I can't hardly buy a tomato in the store anymore. And just in the winter, I put beets on my salad. Mike makes these yummy pickled beets, but that
We
would, I don't think they would go good in potato salad, but.
are very fortunate because there's a company here called SunTech, and it's only a few miles from where we live. And they do hydroponics tomatoes, and they even do it in the wintertime. I don't know how they can afford to do that and heat those greenhouses, but it's all hydroponic, and they taste like tomatoes instead
Nice.
of cardboard.
Now, do you want to explain, just in case there's some listeners out there that don't know about hydroponics or haven't, like, how does hydroponics work? It's food grown in water, right?
It's food grown and liquid, yes. And the water contains the nutrients that you would normally find in the soil,
And
only
so then,
it's
how do you get
concentrated.
those nutrients in the water?
Pardon?
How do you get those nutrients in the water?
Well, there are a number of companies that manufacture solutions which contain all of the micro and macronutrients that you would normally find in the soil. Now, there's some argument in the industry as to whether that's organic or not organic. I don't get into that. Hydroponics is a big field. You can grow, actually, hydroponics, you can grow it in a sort of a, not soil, but think of it as a glass wool environment. You can grow it in pellets and all kinds of other things. I grow strictly in water solution, and that's the normal hydroponics. And the other one is, have you ever been to Epcot Center?
No.
Well, there's Disney started this a long time ago. In Epcot Center, there's a craft pavilion, and that is a hydroponics pavilion, which is like unbelievably tech, high tech. And that one is using aeroponics. And aeroponics is when you take the solution and you mist it onto the roots of the plants. The only thing the plants need to grow is those nutrients, but they must have oxygen. Oxygen is the most important element in growing anything. So if you spray the nutrients onto the roots, Jackie, you can actually watch them grow. If you sit there, you can sit there and watch these plants grow. I mean, they grow so incredibly quickly. So I use a combination of that and just in liquid.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to share with us today?
Oh, gee, I can't think of anything in particular.
Oh, okay. All
But
right. No, go ahead.
no, sorry.
Oh, I was just, so then my final question I like to ask everybody. So if there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? Like, is there a charity or an organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either in your local area or like a national or global scale?
Well, on a global scale, some of the things that are going on a daily basis are just, doesn't look good for our granddaughter and grandchildren's future. But apart from that, I like
Well,
these,
like, go
sorry,
ahead. No,
I
go ahead.
like programs that involve schools. Anything you do with gardening in schools, and there's a number of ones that we're looking at here to try and get involved with. We haven't yet because I haven't had the time. But I think that's the place to start.
And
And
I had
I
a
think Michelle Obama's doing a great job in that one.
Oh, cool. A guest on Elizabeth Leonard from Earl's Kitchen Gardens, and she builds gardens in schools in New York on Long Island. And
Oh, good.
she talked about a thing called the Farm to School Network that's just really growing and booming here in the United States right now. It might be an international thing. I guess I don't really know, but that they're working on those projects and getting. And the shocking thing that she had said that I was just amazed at, she said the Montessori school that she puts a garden into, they can, eat all the food and bring it into the school, but the public schools, I think, I guess, is where she has gardens, the kids can go out in the garden itself and taste the food, but they can't bring it into the cafeteria and use it to cook with or eat in the lunchroom.
Seriously.
And I just thought, and she said that Farm to School Network is very active. Parents are working on changing the legislation. And, she thinks it's within a year or two, it's going to change. But that just shocked me. I can't imagine we would have that problem here in Montana. I could be wrong, but.
What was this person's name?
Her name's Elizabeth Leonard. And she's like interview, I think, number 19. Okay. And she has a business called Earl's Kitchen Gardens in New York. And she builds gardens in either, regular homeowners' backyards. And then she works in the schools and builds gardens in the schools with the kids.
Ah.
And she said she loves going to the Montessori school because at the Montessori school, the kids can, bring it inside and cook with it and do all sorts of, they eat everything that they can produce. And so the other schools, it's just kind of like a test garden. And when the kids are out working, doing their science lesson, they can taste things when they're out there, but they can't take the produce from the garden on the school grounds and bring it into the lunchroom. And I just thought, that is crazy.
That's nuts. I just read some research on urban gardening. Of course, as part of Seed Haven, we need to sort of categorize the market a bit and to do a press release. And I found that I found some research from University of California, University of Toronto here, New York, and a whole bunch of other places where metropolitan areas are passing legislation which will facilitate the growing of food at home, like people having a garden in their front yard. It was unheard of. It had to be a lawn, right?
Right.
And that's getting fixed. I mean, more than 40% of urban families are growing food for consumption at home in Toronto and Vancouver, and I suspect it's true in the States as well.
Wonderful.
So that's a very big market.
It is, and it's growing because I think people are, they want better tasting food, they want healthier food, and the price of, I think people want those organic choices, and when you go to the grocery store, it's so expensive. And
They grow it, and all of a sudden, it tastes something different,
Right.
And they don't know what that is, but it's the way it's really supposed to taste, and that market is growing between 11% and 20% per year.
Cool. Nice. Yes.
So I'm going to get in touch with Elizabeth Leonard because I think whatever she's doing there is a great thing.
Great. And I think she'll like your what are they called? Seed Haven. What do you call it?
It's called Seed Haven. Mm-hmm. It's a bit, but you can also put transplants in there as well.
They're just too cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
So how about an inspirational tip or a quote to help our help motivate listeners to reach into that dirt and start their own garden?
Oh, that's a tough one for me.
It is.
But I just, like Theo Frasa said it, time is the most valuable thing a person can spend. So get out in the garden and spend it there with your friends and family.
Okay. I was thinking, what about this quote by Albert Pine on your website that says, what we do for ourselves dies with us, what we do for others and the world remains and is immortal.
There you go.
Because I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then I like this other one down on the bottom that says, life is ruled by fortune, not wisdom, which is from your Theo Freitas, right?
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us who he is? I mean, I got to say, history is not my thing.
Sorry?
Do you want to tell us who Theophrastus is?
Theophrastus is a Greek philosopher, and he's most known for his reflections on plants and what are plants and why are plants and even why is a stone and what's it all about. He's very broadly involved in sorts of other things, but that's the part that sort of turned my crank.
Cool.
And that's, yeah.
No, go ahead. Sorry. All right. Well, anyway, thank you, Peter. So first you have to tell us, like, how do listeners get these Seed Haven things? If they want to purchase them, can they purchase them out of Canada, or do we have to wait if we're in the United States till you get your patent here? Or?
I think we're going to have to wait a little bit, but this year's our introduction. We haven't got a distribution network in the States, so it's something we're trying to find. And once we do that, then it will be available. And another way, it might be on Amazon, but I don't know whether it'll be this year or not.
Okay. And what about Canadian listeners? Because we do have quite a few of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, they get them from various hardware stores and some Rona stores and some other chains.
Okay. Well, I'll put the links to your website in the show notes page, and people are going to look at this and say, "Holy cow, wow, this is exciting." And I guess, I don't know, that's about it.
Well, Jack, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Thank you very much.
You did? Well, thanks. I did too, and it was just so nice to talk to you, and I hope, maybe we'll be friends in the future and get to see your business grow. And I just appreciate you sharing your knowledge, and it's neat to see somebody who comes from the high tech world get interested in gardening like this and use their knowledge for change. And I think it's really going to grow. I mean, I can see its potential just everywhere around the world where there are food shortages and such
Yeah.
a neat way without chemicals
And
to.
this is only part one of Seed Haven, because we also have contemplated in the patent covers so that you can start growing earlier in the season,
Oh, excellent.
and also support systems and what have you.
Just an innovator you are.
I
Now, do you have a partner that you work with? Is that what I saw on
have, yes,
the
I have a partner in this one,
and
yeah.
okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Peter, for talking with me this morning, and good luck with your family and your granddaughters who are so lucky to have you and your big garden up there. And
Okay, thank you, Jackie.
thank you for
Oh,
listening to the
thanks. All
Organic
right, have a
Gardener
great day.
podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. If you like what you've heard today, we'd love it if you'd head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. It really helps us get found by other listeners and share the knowledge. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.